Welcome to Create Your Bliss with Nika Annan. Today we have the wonderful opportunity of talking to Andreas. Andreas, who, and she will pronounce her name for you so we get it correct, is a wellness and spiritual counselor, a self-care mentor, a shamanistic practitioner, climate justice advocate, a plant-based diet proponent, and a lifelong environmentalist. She is passionate about promoting the healing of people and our planet Earth. Andrea has been working on herself and her spiritual path for over 2 decades. Her wisdom delivers possibility for changes that are immediate, profound, and permanent. Andrea is an earth healer who honors Mother Earth and lives in balance with her, and she believes that our relationships with nature is the core link between our personal health and the health of our planet. She hosts women's circles monthly in New York, helping women to connect with the sacred feminine, using her training in the Womb Awakening Apprenticeship Program, as well as all of her lifelong studies. Welcome, Andrea. It's so wonderful to have you here today.
Thank you. It's a true honor and pleasure to be here. The pronunciation of my name is quite complicated because it's a mix of Brazilian and Hungarian, and it's Andrea Tocac Carvalho.
Carvalho. The Hungarian Portuguese is really an interesting challenge.
Yes, it's a lot of mixes, but it's interesting that they are all related to nature. Carvalho is the oak tree. Oh. And my life has always been really driven to have a deeper connection with nature, protect nature. I worked as an environmental teacher in helping kids understanding why it's so important for us to have a better relationship and understanding of Mother Earth.
That's so beautiful, and it's wonderful when our names invoke that part of ourselves. There's beautiful patterns in the world, and I love that you really focus on Gaia, you know, our planet, which is our home and which we are a part of. And it is so important to live loving that and being grateful for it.
Yeah, for me, it's our true mother, the source of all the abundance and all the nurturing that we receive. And one of my main practices and one of the main things that I teach to the women who I have the pleasure to work with is it's really being able to appreciate, to be grateful, and know that we are in a privileged position where we have a food every day in our plates and we have abundance, and being grateful, I would say it's my most strong practice.
It really changes life. It changes the story we tell ourselves. You know, gratitude is astounding. And it's funny that you mentioned that. I have a daily gratitude practice, and it's hard to get people to commit to one.
Yeah, we are funny human beings. We get distracted with things blinking and making sounds around us. So I feel grateful for being able to provide a sacred space for women where we sit in a circle, we connect with this old memory in our DNAs when we used to sit around the fire to raise our kids, to make food, to create medicine. And we know that when we are in this space, our wisdom is bigger, is higher, is purer. And it's important that when we are in those places, we remind each other of the important things in life, of the things that really matter. So my opportunity to help them helps me the most, and those circles that we create are really our often reminders to be grateful, to be mindful, and to be the powerful women we are when when we can connect with all of that.
That's very beautiful. And you said that you conduct several circles for women. What brought you to doing that, and how do you envision them? And can you talk about that a little bit? I think that that's a really beautiful place to talk about how we nurture ourselves and how, as women, we have a role in doing that for ourselves, and to remind our culture that we need to do it reciprocally to the planet.
Absolutely. I have to say that it wasn't a conscious, clear decision. It was mostly spirit kicking my butt and saying, it's time. I had a previous experience in shamanic traditions. When I was in my early 20s, late teens, I had a shamanic teacher who taught me traditions, initiated me. And the interesting thing is that my path in life was about discovery and research and experiencing. So I had an odd experience in different traditions and different religions until the moment that I felt that I was the mature woman who could combine them all together and understand what is the truth for me and stop looking for truth outside. Mm-hmm. And in the moment, I found a beautiful community here in New York City. It's the New York Shamanic Circle. And as I joined them and I changed my practice and I deepened it, I also was invited by Spirit to run their Women's Circle, which is a monthly event. And after that, I just knew that there wasn't any other place or time that I would feel so happy. It was my favorite thing to do. I felt that I was in service and that I was connected with a higher source. And when we are able to move our ego out of the way and be able to help and deliver from our hearts, everybody can feel that. So in some point I just start expanding, and I do moon circles and equinox, and whenever we feel that it's an important time for us to just sit together, because sitting in circle, it has such a strong impact in everybody's life. When we're able to listen to each other's, our hearts, our fears, our desires, and know that we're not alone. As women, we are requesting this kind of society to be hard workers and tough, and we're exposed to business environments that don't understand or accept the gentle side of us. And so instead of being able to balance and growing our two wings, the wing of intuition, the wing of the feminine, and the wing of the rational, the mind, the smart from the brain and the masculine, we end up creating an atrophy and using just the masculine wing much more. So it was very important. And I have this background. I used to work in corporations. Mm-hmm. So it was very important to me to be able to help other women to also find this balance and grow both wings with the same intensity.
So that we represent the balance that we would like to see in the world.
I cannot think of anything more important than balance. Even when there's something that is very good, too much of something good is also not good in some point. So, yeah, I believe that when we are in this sacred space when we are in circle, we remind ourselves that we have our fragile sides. We have cycles that are so important. We are not the same kind of stable, always predictable male stereotype, that they have different hormones and cycles in their bodies. And when we can connect with nature, with the moon, and we understand that there are moments that we're more open and vulnerable, and moments that we are more creative, and we have a little more, which is wonderful, aggressive energy. We can produce more. This is all great, and it's all about noticing, paying attention. One of the biggest practices that I teach people is to put your hand on your heart and just ask yourself. There is a higher self that is, it's willing, and it's so looking forward to connect with you and answer those deep questions we have.
That's so beautiful, and to remember that we all have that. And then how beautiful to do that in a group, because I think that's something else our culture has lost, is that we don't honor that, just being together.
Yes, and ceremonies are extremely important for us as a way of connecting and reminding us of this natural ability that we have to connect and to have cycles and to notice ourselves, to be aware, to pay attention. So the ceremonies we do together are so much more stronger in impact, in allowing us to surrender and to remember that we're all together in this path. And having generations, having different cultural backgrounds, I have a beautiful mix of women from, I wasn't born in the United States, I was born in Brazil, I have a Hungarian husband, so there is already my cultural mix here, and I have an immense, incredible group of a variety of nationalities, so it's wonderful to see that we all bring something from our background, but we bring our seed of the soul we are into the circle, and we open our hearts, and we really help each other. We support each other in our tears and our laughs, but most of all, we remind ourselves that it's totally fine. This is a school. This is a path that we don't have to be perfect. We just have to do from our heart.
Just be.
Yes.
And sometimes that's really hard. We get so busy. We get so rushing around. We're so busy problem solving.
That is a very strong tendency of the societies that we live our days. And it's also, unfortunately, our own belief that we should be perfect, we should be fantastic. We're not just mothers, and we have a job, which is already a lot. We have to be the best mother, we have to do great in our jobs, and we cook, and we're nurses, and we're natural givers. We it's inside of us to naturally love, support, and do so much. But it's so important to remember that if we don't take the time for ourselves, and I like to remind people when we are in our women's circles during the gatherings, that I use the principle of the airplane. When you are in an airplane, you have to put the mask first on your face. If you don't have oxygen for yourself, you cannot help others. So I love reminding them that even if you're not going to do that extra load of laundry, it's going to be all right. Take the time to take a bath. Use some lovely lavender and candles and be. Just stay there with yourself and soothe yourself and mother yourself. It's a technique, it's a practice that it requires us to stop and remember that we deserve to take care of ourselves.
Very much so. Very much so. And I think, too, with our children, to remember to play with them, that it's not all about achieving and scheduling it. It's sometimes just about playing together.
Yes, and enjoying that, right? Mm-hmm. The to-do list is still going to be there. It doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So I know that you're in the midst of a very big life change, and I would like you to talk a little bit about how your spiritual wisdom and your work has enhanced that for you, and how it has enhanced what you do, how it's changed how you be in the world.
It is indeed the biggest transformation of my life. Mm-hmm. I am 39 weeks pregnant right now, about to welcome this little star seed into the world any moment. And it has been the biggest exercise of surrender of my life. As I said, I do have a background in working with corporations. I have a very productive way to survive in the world. But I realized that this is completely out of my hands in schedule, in programming. I can take care of my body the best I can, and I look after my diet. But at the end, this baby, this amazing soul that chose to come to this world through me and my husband is the one who leads and guides where and how he wants his passage to happen. So I have to say, for me, as a personal growth, has been the biggest exercise of acceptance of unknown things and be okay with who I am and who he chose his mother to be. Mm-hmm. So surrendering in a sense of knowing I don't need the stuff that we see in catalogs and people have to have in the house. I need a safe, comfortable place and love, and I need a lot of space for us to learn about each other, because I know he's going to be my biggest teacher.
Mm-hmm.
It's a well-known thing that women, when they are pregnant, they get in a stage of connection that is deeper than ever. It's an opening. It's a really deep path. I know that during this time, my level of connection with my practices and my spirituality has been changed a lot. I also had the possibility of releasing things from my own birth, of traumas and pains and fears that between my mother and myself when I was in this path of being born, I've been carrying with me, so this has been probably the biggest blessing I had so far of being able to release some of this older layers. And I also feel that I'm able to connect with a level of allowing pain to just go through us. This is from my practice in Buddhism.
Mm-hmm.
from the types of meditations that we used to do at the temple, to understand that a sensation is just a sensation, a feeling is just a feeling, and you don't have to ride this horse. You don't have to follow it, whatever it takes you, which is a very difficult exercise, because as soon as you feel something in your body, you immediately, you believe that you have to give in, you believe that you have to feel that. But it's allowing any pain, any old memories and things to be able to pass through me and notice them, acknowledge them, thank them for the learning that we received from every single one of them, and knowing that they already fulfilled their purpose and I release them back. And usually what I like to do is to give back to Mother Earth and ask her to recycle, because those are energies that can be used in another way, in a positive way. So I can't imagine being able to release so much as I did at this, especially at this last trimester of pregnancy. It has been incredible to exercise in my emotional body exactly mm-hmm. what I hope I'm going to be doing my physical body, which is this training of every time a contraction comes, which causes a pain in the physical body, which is the body asking the baby to move down and to be ready to embrace this journey and be born. This contraction shouldn't cause my reaction of contracting, my intensing my muscles and then fighting back, but it's surrendering and welcoming the somewhat physical pain that we're not denying that exists, but instead of not working with it, it's working against it. So the more I read and I'm taught how to deal with the birth sensations, the labor, the more I associate with life and the emotional pains we bring in our body.
That's really
I don't
beautiful.
Know if that was clear.
That was very
clear. I hope
clear.
That was clear.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, that was very beautiful, and that we really have a choice about how we respond and how we react and how we perceive it, and that to see it so what I heard was that instead of making it about the pain, it's about the incredible process, and the pain is a piece of that process that does not need to dominate it, and that we don't need to focus on it, that we need to focus on the actual process and that amazing separation between the mother and the infant, which is astonishing. First, that it happens to start with, and then secondly, that then there's a way that our body knows how to let go and let something entirely new come into the world and to release it.
Absolutely.
And to see that as it's funny how everybody's, you know, like, oh, when you work out and it's painful, then that's good. And I'm like, well, but what about the important things in life that might change, transformation, birth, even death, which is the other end of that, how those also involve pain, but it's not what we focus on. You know,
that's perfect. That's exactly what I think.
Yeah.
And it's part of my private practice also, when I'm helping women individually in releasing old pains and memories and traumatic experience that we have in what I call the layers of our being.
Mm-hmm.
It's to allow some of them to be released from the body, because we do carry them in our bodies. So when we are able to see them and allow them to just flow through us instead of grabbing or reacting to them, but noticing, acknowledging, thanking every single experience in our lives allowed us to become the person we are. And then releasing, and then asking Mother Earth to take from us and just recycling that energy into something beautiful and useful in other ways.
That's so beautiful. And it's very, not just empowering, but it's also very nurturing to really honor ourselves enough to remove those. If we were in situations that caused us pain, we don't have to commit to carrying it the rest of our life.
Yes, absolutely. And this is part of the training that I received to allow women, what in shamanic tradition we call soul retrieval, mm-hmm. but the idea is that it's a piece of your soul that had such a pain and a traumatic experience that couldn't handle that. And it was lost mm-hmm. in from the whole that we are right now. And when we lose this little pieces of ourselves and so many life experiences we have from parents that are trying their best, but they're humans, they make mistakes, and we have society that try to impose us preconceptions and things that are not necessarily ours, but we end up absorbing them, or we are sometimes carrying things from our ancestors, from our mothers and grandmothers, and how they were taught to behave and deal with things. All of those are layers on our emotional, energetic, and physical body. And we carry them with us, removing our happiness, our feeling of fulfillment, our ability to even see the beautiful things around us or to complete our life purpose. So understanding that those things are stored, but they, as you said, we don't have to carry them with us. We can, once we acknowledge them and we accept that it was just another experience in our lives, good or bad, without judgment, that they allowed us to become who we are, that's surrendering. That's the ultimate acceptance of this is a school, we're here to learn, and every lesson counts.
Yes, and sometimes that maybe we agree to some version of those lessons before we even came here, that we have mm-hmm. something that we are working with, that we, or a restriction that we agree to in order to create something else. And I think you're right. I think that, you know, even some of those really terrible things that have happened to us, there's a role of gratitude in responding to them, because in my personal experience, it gives us access to parts of ourselves that we might never engage otherwise.
That is perfectly said, yes. And it's interesting that our life experience, our accumulation of the good and the bad stuff, at some point just sits with us in a level of maturity that we can embrace all of that. I would say with all the spiritual practices I had, the most important for me at this moment in life is to just be with myself mm-hmm. and know that's the wisdom that I have already inside of me. And that's the exercise that I try to remind the beautiful women that I work with all the time, that you already have the wisdom inside of you. There are spiritual and religious practices that help us to connect to wisdom in a different way, in a better way, in a clear way, but it's all about going in, going inside, and knowing that you are already supported by your higher self, by all this wisdom that we've been bringing with us from so many life experiences.
And do you find people are responsive to that? How do they react when you bring that up?
I think the majority of the women, when they come to a circle or to a private session, they're already open. They're already looking for something. The voice inside of them is already telling them that there is more that they haven't tapped in. Mm-hmm. They haven't tapped to. There is more in life that they don't know how to access, but they are not fully absorbing. So once they come to a circle or to a private session, they are already so thirsty for having this deep connection with themselves
that they find that they move towards it, or you find that they move towards it.
Yeah, or I always say that it's not me, but it's the work that I'm able to channel and provide to them. So if there is a match with the kind of work that I'm there offering, it's probably because they already had the predisposition when they saw on a friend replying on Facebook, or one, they saw the kind of work that I'm offering, they feel called to participate. Mm-hmm. They already have that predisposition. They already have a heart hungry for more meaning in life. And so I find that the majority of them, they are already in the level of openness and connection once we start the work, that it's beautiful. It's really incredible to see all of us going inside of ourselves, and in whatever speed, we all have our own time to come to the level of connection that we want. Mm-hmm. So it's just noticing and holding space for them to move towards their own light.
And so it's very, including in the groups, it's a very personal experience. That's beautiful. So that each person has their approach to it and their interaction with it.
Yeah. And it's never a coincidence. The women who show up in each work and each gathering, there's usually a theme. I can point it out to them what kind of calling they're feeling or a pattern that is happening in a group. I always remind women that it's important to listen to each other, because when we are seated in a circle, when we are a group, we are a collective voice. And we have limited time or limited memories of the things we're sharing each moment. But each one of us sharing in a circle, we are sharing for all of us. And so being open and paying attention to every single woman message, every single desire and fear and experience and journeys that they are going through increases our own knowledge and our own connection. So we work as a group in a very beautiful and deep way that also translates in an individual work for the progress and the changes and the shifts we're going through in the moment.
That's so beautiful. And so that basically that may, or perhaps people hear in other people's story, the part of their story that maybe they're not telling at the moment, but they resonate with it. And we realize how much we have shared experience.
Yes, that happens often. And it's interesting how I know some of the women, they get their shy because it's their personality or their first experience in a circle, and they will start to not, I don't force anyone. I always give, I open space for us to share, and people can volunteer. So there is really space for you to be comfortable with yourself and with the group. So I notice how as the work progresses that women say, yeah, actually what you mentioned when you were sharing before, it happened to me, it resonated with me. So they start finding their voices and they start finding comfortable to be in that sacred space, in that place where the first thing I tell them is that I have one rule, there are no shoots. You shouldn't say thing, or you shouldn't say something, or you shouldn't say, there's no shoulds. And second rule is don't judge. Start with don't judge yourself. Yeah. There is nothing that you could have done better than what you're doing right now. So accept it and be very happy that you brought yourself here and you are taking care of yourself. And then don't judge the other women, because we never know the whole story. We don't know what they're going through. So allow your heart to just be open and be receptive and giving, and the most pure, beautiful experience come out of that.
Right, which is a choice, and to let go of the whole. I think it's very important to let go of self-judgment and judging others, and instead to, when we think of perfection as what actually has come to be or what is in the moment, it's very different than if something that we're trying to achieve that is not within the realm of human capability, you know, because that's not what we're here to do, is do that abstract perfection, but in being here in each moment, we are a perfection.
Yes. Oh, very well said.
Thank you. I really heard that in your work, and how precious that is for women, for anybody, for humans to hear. You know, and I think what a beautiful way to see your child, to see children.
Yeah. And this acceptance really extends when we can see in each other that we're not broken, we're not unique in a negative way, that we all have. I one of the my favorite things is as somebody shows some weakness or something that they're being hard with themselves about, is to ask the whole group and ask everybody to raise their hands. Often if a woman, like the first or second one that has some tears and starts being emotionally open and she's crying and she will apologize for doing that in a circle, I say, who is uncomfortable with this person crying? And everybody will just shake their heads. Nobody is uncomfortable with tears. We all know where they come from. We all know what kind of expression they are and how good does it feel that we can actually release them. And then that woman has the opportunity to see, wow, I'm my harder with myself. I actually am the person who is judging myself more than anyone else. And when we open ourselves and we say that we're tough and it's hard to ask for help, that's the big one that it comes up in women's circle. We have this strong drive to be the nurturers, to do everything, and we find ourselves that we just can't ask for help because we don't want to look as failures. And I say, please raise your hand if you have a hard time asking for help. And I raised my hand first because I know myself.
Yeah.
And we all look around the room and we have all those hands and we know, oh, I'm not broken. I was trained like everybody else that this is what I'm supposed to be doing. So next time that I should be asking for help, but I have a hard time, I can remember that this is not just my struggle. And maybe today I'm going to be a little more comfortable to ask for the help.
And how beautiful is that? Because the other thing is, how good does it make us feel to give help?
Ooh, to accept the gift, huh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, and that brings up a whole other that I'm sure is one of the issues, is acceptance, you know,
yes.
Receiving, because we're taught to give, and we forget the gift of receiving.
That is true. I like proposing exercises on the circles for women to just accepting, having a date with themselves, to give themselves whatever they would like to. So on Valentine's Day, on Mother's Day, on the circles we had around that time, I said, everybody here will have to have a date with yourself. You can have your partner or whatever person in your life that you mm-hmm. will have a Valentine's Day with, but you have to have a time where you take care of yourself, you give the stuff to yourself that only you know because you don't share with others. So it's that bubble bath, is that beautiful outfit that you keep saving in the back of the closet, so you're going to put it on. It's whatever. It's a walk in the park that you never take the time to walk barefoot on grass. It's something that's, you know, it's going to make you feel inside so good. It has no purpose in completing a task, in being productive. It's about mothering you, taking care of you. And so I often will remind women of doing this act of kindness and giving this gift to themselves.
That's very beautiful. And do people, are they receptive? Is that something that they, what kind of feedback do you get about that?
Oh, I get beautiful pictures or text messages, Instagram communications that they had a fantastic time. And I had the most lovely stories, especially when women, they find that it's okay, it's not selfish to mm-hmm. have a me time, to really to enjoy taking care of themselves. It doesn't have to be something that is visual, that's, oh, you have to take care of your hair or you have to get a manicure. It can be the most simple things. I talk a lot about dancing because I believe the body, it's a place that we're not so kind with it and we store a lot of memories. So dancing, movement, yoga, whatever you can do to loosen up and soften. So I talk a lot to the women about that and they will send me the most lovely experience that they had with themselves. It's fantastic.
That's beautiful. And then I'm sure they carry it out into their lives. So how nice to make that change that then spreads.
Yes, and you know what? I believe that we're in this school of practice, so we don't remember everything that would be helpful all the time, and that's okay. We just come back, we have another gathering, another mm-hmm. circle, we talk to each other. I know of beautiful friendships that came out of the women who attended the gathering, so the groups always change. We always have people who come often or new people, friends of friends who they are brought by the women who already had some kind of experience there. And then it's a really beautiful group of love and support that keeps expanding. And there are beautiful friendships that came out of the women who have been attending the circles, and they support each other in this way of, especially right now, of being in this leave since the beginning of the month. I haven't done women's circles because of my physical changes. And I know that the women who created this friendship, they're still supporting each other and reminding each other, because that's what sisterhood is about. It's about reminding each other and supporting each other in the past. It's not a perfect past. And that's, again, back to the lack of judgment. If you forget that it's important to take care of yourself, don't be harsh with yourself. Just next opportunity you have, take care of yourself.
Yes, just begin again. Yeah.
All the time. We never stop.
Yeah, but that's very beautiful. And I know if you've worked in corporate America or corporate elsewhere, that there's a real pressure on women to compete with each other. And it sounds like these circles are a place where women can repattern that, where we become...
Absolutely. Yes, that's probably one of the main things. I worked in corporate America in Spanish and Brazilian, and it's everywhere a standard where they want you to behave and react like a male brain, and with the drive and, as you said, the competition, that it's not as natural for us, that is not really our root. So it comes so easily when we sit in a circle to be supportive and to just embrace everybody's weaknesses and desires and happiness as one group. I experienced one of the most beautiful moments in my life when I had a blessing wave for my pregnancy, which is a ceremony to allow a woman to know that she will be born into a mother. It's a completely different experience you have in life. And we are allowed to, in that day, be honored and be part, be the center of a ritual that looks at a woman as a powerful being going through a huge transition that she doesn't even know if she's going to be capable of, because we mm-hmm. don't remember that. And be supported, be loved, be embraced by so many other loving women. And it's like, it's the best birthday that you can possibly imagine. That birthday party feeling, celebration of you're the center of attention. Right. But in with love, there is no one there that's, it's thinking anything, but I just want this path that is scary and is strange to be the best experience of your life and to be supported by all of us, because we know it's scary and you will be afraid and you will not know what to do. And that's totally okay.
So beautiful.
Having a group of women, and that was a very specific and very beautiful ceremony to have a blessing way for when you are at the end of your pregnancy and having this, but having the experience of the women's circles are really about a tiny little ceremony for all of us, and to know that we all are in a weird path of reminding ourselves how to be the powerful but also vulnerable women that we are, and to know that that's totally okay. And whatever we decide, that was the best we could do at the moment, and we are all just learning.
Beautiful. And sometimes our strength comes from that vulnerability.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's so precious, and it's so beautiful, and in a place like New York, to have someone like yourself who's helping revision the feminine and what are the beauties and the extraordinary gifts that that part of life brings us. And I think we need to think about it in terms of the planet too, because we have been such indulged children to Mother Earth. And we have forgotten that it's our role to sing to her and pray to her and dance with her and celebrate the gift of life, including the incredible gifts that come from our planet. Yes. And of connection.
Beautiful.
So how wonderful. So you're about to welcome a new being into this world. What a beautiful, incredible gift, and what a profound transformation in your life.
Yes. Cannot imagine a bigger one.
No, I don't think there are bigger ones, and yet at the same time, it's so frequent. It's amazing how our culture forgets to honor that. You know, what a
right to notice as the blessed moment and experience that it is for everybody. It's not just for the mother and the child, but everybody is affected by that shifting energy of bringing a new soul into this world. So the ceremonies are also an important place to remind ourselves of how we sometimes deal with extremely meaningful and beautiful things in our lives as just one more action, which is not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Instead of taking the time to really mark and honor what an amazing time they are.
Miracle.
Yes.
Miracle.
Total
my
miracle.
Body is creating another body inside.
How amazing is that?
There's a tiny little heart pumping inside of my body. It's incredible.
And it's been totally attached, and it will become separate. And that's what an amazing process, and what an image for all of us. It's just so, and we've all done it. I tell people sometimes, Andrea, when they say, oh, I can't learn how to do this, I said, you learned how to walk. Walking is really hard.
Yeah.
You know, we have these two little things that we have to balance on. and line all that spine and the head. And we all learned how to walk. And babies are so determined.
Yes.
know, I don't know. It's just, it's such an inspiring part of life and so beautiful and so meaningful.
I feel especially blessed that I had an opportunity to welcome this being inside of me in a time where I feel like I'm ready. I don't think there is ready,
right.
But I have a understanding of what this process could mean and the blessing and the miracle that it is in a different way that I used to have it before. So knowing that I can go through with the level of awareness that I have right now, it's the probably the biggest gift I can have.
Oh, how beautiful. And what a gift for your child.
Yes.
To be welcomed in that way.
Yeah.
Well, our time is coming to an end. So if you could please give us any parting words and your website and how to contact you. And thank you. I'm so grateful for this opportunity to talk to you. It's been an extraordinary gift.
It has been fun and incredible. I'm very grateful to be able to share any wisdom or experience I have with more people, because I know that inside of each one of you, there is a higher self that is amazing and it's so full of life and joy that we just have to invite it back to be us and to live our lives from gratitude and from love, mainly love for ourselves. If there is anyone interested more in my work, I am in New York City. I do occasionally trips to Brazil to host other circles there. Right now I don't have groups going to Brazil, but it's probably something that I'm going to do in the future to have little retreats there so we can leave from the United States and enjoy the beauties of Brazil with, combined with the work that I do. My website is The Gaia Healer. And I have, nowadays my Instagram is all about belly bumps and baby pictures. But I love sharing the altars that we create during our ceremonies and mandalas in appreciation of them. So if anyone is interested, it's all in my website, and including email addresses and telephone numbers if people are interested in contacting me.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you so much. And do you have a prayer or a song or a gratitude you would like to close with?
Yes. Thank you, great Creator. Creator of the most beautiful and small little beings to the biggest and grand forms of life, the colorful ladybugs and the ancient mountains, for all this abundance that surrounds us, for all the wisdom that is already in us and it's reminded outside of us by your presence. Thank you for another day. Thank you for allowing me to be of service. And thank you everywhere we are, in the physical, in the remote, or in an energetic way. As communities, we're stronger and we're even more powerful. I think my body and my soul for being here present, for being able to connect with other souls, and for together we all continue this path of learning and growth. Aho.
Aho. Thank you very much.